Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today, your weekly show that's encouraging, informative, lifting up Christ, and bringing forth the great news. And today we have in our studio Steve Orsello, and he's with the Lord's Gym in Oroville, also the Father's House Ministries. Welcome, Steve. How are you today?
I am awesome. Unbelievable.
So Steve, the listeners out there want to know a little bit about you, so why don't you tell them a little bit about you, and then we can go into the ministry in a little bit.
Like you said, I'm Steve, and I pastor a church called the Father's House in Oroville, California. I also am the president of a nonprofit corporation called Father's House Restoration Ministries, which runs businesses for the purpose of helping people change their lives.
How did that come about?
God placed it in my heart. I stayed open to it, kept pressing on the, putting the pressure on it, and eventually the pressure gave way, and Lord's Gym just grew like any seed you plant. Something's going to grow, and then something really good grew.
How long did this process take?
From the time the Lord began to put it on my heart, it was about 16 years. About 14 years. It's been 16 years. Always looking for the right guy, always asking the Lord for the resources, and looking how are we going to get this done, continually talking to the Lord's Gym people in Roseville about how to get it done, and eventually the right guy, my son-in-law Derek, came along and said, I want to do this, and he became the point man, and really only about 4 months later, we were open.
Before your son-in-law came into the picture, he basically had a heart for something else, did he not? He was trying out for something else. You want to tell a little bit about your son-in-law?
Well, he has played football since he was a young man, and he was dreaming of being in the NFL during the course of his experience in football through Marshall University, and then getting a chance to try out for the Seahawks. He was in the Seahawks camp where he met Jesus, and felt that he should, he was mentored by Sean Alexander, the running back, who MVP that year, or year prior. But anyway, he was mentored and discipled by Sean Alexander, and just continued to grow in this until he believed he could really make it as a quarterback in the NFL. So he was pursuing that pretty heavily, was in the Washington Redskins camp, and continued to try out and was not wanting anything to distract him. And then one day when I shared this with him, he began to really catch the vision and say, this could be the thing I do for the rest of my life. And we headed down there, we applied that pressure, and this time it the seed grew. He began to make phone calls where he eventually got the equipment donated from a gentleman in Los Angeles, just a mass amount of equipment, and we put it together, leased a building in Oroville, and that was history.
You guys opened up and started when?
May 1st, 2013.
How many people would you say are members connected to the Lord's Gym?
We usually have a membership that goes between 1,600 and 1,450.
No, so between 1,450 to 1,600?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Have you seen a lot of fruit come from this gym that you've been doing? I mean, have there been a lot of people that have experienced the Lord or have come to an understanding of Christ, or have you seen significant changes happen in the area because of the ministry that you're a part of?
A couple things have happened. You know, we've developed relationships with pastors and people because we have a lot of Christians who join our gym and pastors who join our gym, and socially it creates a unity that I haven't really had before. But on top of that, just a tremendous flow of people who end up coming to try out the Father's House Church because me and my volunteers at the gym, they go to the Father's House Church. So they want to know what it is that causes us to do this. And we tell them it's a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then we go to the Father's House Church. And
how many people are part of your congregation or have become part of your congregation since you started the gym?
Probably at least a couple of dozen. And many more who we've influenced to seek or to grow, people from other churches that have been inspired by us that have decided to get involved in their church more. That's one exciting fruit from this thing, is just to influence people.
Has there been any significant impacts upon the congregation itself that has really stirred up the city?
You know, the finances that the Lord's Gym provides to the nonprofits has caused us to be able to quit scratching all the time and to actually have the trucks and the resources it takes to get out in the community. We're really committed to being out in the community, whether it's mowing their lawns, doing elder care at the elder care facilities where we do church services and pray with people who don't really attend our congregation. But the finances that these businesses produce really take away your constant begging and spending so much time raising money in other forms. The Father's House Restoration Ministries donates its resources to nonprofits. We sometimes give grants to other churches and other groups that want to try to accomplish something. And mostly, though, most of the money goes to the Father's House Church and causes us to be able to do what the dreams and visions we've had. So there's impacts way beyond measuring.
Have you had any opposition or challenges from the city for what you guys have tried to do?
You know, the city of Oroville has been miraculous. It's been with us and helped us an awful lot. I have no complaints with the city. They're all for us. I think that sometimes people are a little worried because we do so much with addicted people, former convicts, people straight out of the back door of the jail. Lots of homeless people. We just have tons and tons of homeless people around all the time. And I think that's a concern for the business community. So we try the best we can to work to not be that burden. And so I think we have the favor and support of everybody, really. I don't know of anyone that opposes us right now.
Have you gotten any word from them about what they see that the impact has made on the city itself? Has anybody said anything to you that's involved with the city of Oroville? Or has there been concerns like, well, we know you guys are doing this, but we're still having such a big struggle with the youth, and when's the change going to come? I mean, have you had any questions like that?
No, because they don't rely on us. A few of them in the city, some of them are Christians, and they believe that what we're doing is great, but everyone's so afraid on a governmental level to be associated with Jesus out loud and out front that wouldn't be communicated too much. I mean, they're not really relying on us. They're just thankful for the part we play or the portion we put in. They're outwardly thankful, and they're very supportive.
You were impacted through a Lord's Gym ministry 14 years ago to start another one.
Yeah.
And you were in Roseville with Doug Bird.
Pastor Doug Bird, yes.
Yeah. And so you know Joey Stillman.
I know Joey.
And he was pastor of Lakeview Assembly. And these both started churches, or not churches, but Lord's Gyms in their cities, and they too had the impact. Do you think you've had an impact like theirs, or do you think your impact's been different?
Joey was up at my Lord's Gym on our opening, June of 13, and we talked a little bit about that. I think Joey's push with street kids is very similar. His effect on gang kids, his past being very gang-related. I think that it's very similar, only different.
Explain.
Well, we're both going after those that other people don't want too much, you know, mm-hmm. And we both have the philosophy that if you go after those that nobody wants, the Lord will give you the ones everybody wants. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of the same, only it looks a little different. Stockton, where Joey is in Stockton, and he's got the Stockton Lord's Gym, which is an outstanding gym, excellent, well put together gym. And he's drawing kids from the streets of Stockton, and we're drawing kids from all over Oroville. We're targeting people that are the harvest for the message of Jesus Christ. And so those are the disenfranchised, the kids that are unparented, unfathered, just lost. They're confused. And so I think we're both doing the same thing, and we're just doing it a little different.
So Oroville's got a lot of issues such as gangs, drugs, violence, criminal activity of all sorts. Do you have a group of people in there that are actually going after these wounded youth that really need to hear love versus hate, relationship, we want to be your family? I mean, in Stockton, that's the focus that Joey has, is I want to be your father. Do you guys have that same that same mentality? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, one of our philosophies is follow me, mm-hmm. And the whole goal is to create sons and fathers. And our message is we want the men who are solid to be fathers. Mm-hmm. And we make it real clear that following the Lord oftentimes looks like following a man. You walk together in strength as a father and a son. And that's exactly how we do it. That's basically our philosophy of ministry is creating sons and daughters. And we create sons and daughters not for the sake of having people do our bidding. It's so that we create sons and daughters so that they can be fathers and mothers.
So you do have spiritual fathers within the congregation that are taking brand new believers or youth, and they're help mentoring them and raising them up to be what God would possibly have them to be, correct?
Absolutely. It's probably the responsibility, the feeling is a responsibility that this is how it works. This is what these kids need. This is what these people need. And when I say kids, some of them are 40 and 50 years old, but they've never been fathered. And my message to them is, I'm sorry that you didn't get this when you were young, but you still have to get it to be able to function in this world. You have to learn how to be told no. You have to learn how to be told what to do. You have to learn how to be taught. And that's what a father does. So come walk with us. Mm-hmm. Come walk arm in arm with us, and you'll learn these things. But you will be told what to do, and you will be told where to go and what not to do. Mm-hmm. And if you do those things, it's 40-year-olds hard to father.
You don't operate like a shepherd, like some churches have a shepherd where the pastor is overseer of everything that they do, and they have to answer to their pastor for everything pretty much. That's not you, correct?
Well, we don't do a permission. We just say, if you were smart, you'd do what I told you. But shepherding is more like permission. You have to have permission to marry somebody, or you have to have permission to do something. Mm-hmm. What we teach is, if you want to be a good dad, learn from a good dad. Mm-hmm. If you want to be an electrician, learn from an electrician, not a doctor.
That's
if you
true.
Want to be a doctor, learn from a doctor. And so if somebody, like I'm a journeyman carpenter, and if somebody wants to be a journeyman carpenter, I'll tell them, I'll share with them everything I know. If they won't listen, I'll move on to the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so listening is absolutely necessary, and listening defined as doing what I tell you if you want to learn what I got.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be if you look at my Christianity and say, I'd love to have a relationship with God like you, then I say, walk with me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you ask me, should I go this way or that way, and I say, you should go that way, go that way, do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not permission, it's just wisdom.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. Do what I'm telling you, follow, let's walk together. And how can two walk together unless they walk in agreement? That's what... You know,
that's what the Bible says, correct?
That's what the Bible says.
And now, looking at exercise, looking at spiritual discipline, physical discipline, spiritual exercise, physical exercise, the Bible says that exercise does a body good, but spiritual discipline does the spirit much. And there's things in there about spiritual discipline, physical discipline, and exercising. And I think a lot of times people work out to look good.
Mm-hmm.
They want to look good. They want to be buff and stud and all that kind of stuff. That's not the backing behind spiritual discipline, is it?
No.
And we're going to go into that a little bit, the difference between spiritual workout versus physical workout.
We use all of our workout mentoring as an opportunity to teach spiritual mentoring.
Go into that a little bit.
Well, all of our men that from the Father's house, now I can't speak for everybody that works out in the gym. Most of them are doing it to look better, to feel better, to be healthier. We're happy to provide that opportunity, but that's not our goal whatsoever. Our goal is not bigger muscles. Our goal is stronger faith.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what we do, when we teach giving, it's not about money, it's about faith.
Mm-hmm.
When we teach workout discipline, we say the very same discipline you're demonstrating in your physical workout is the discipline you need in your prayer life, in your faith life, in your, you know, abstinence, in your obedience, in your love. Just the expression of love to God is a discipline that I think a man should do on a daily basis. And so when we teach him,
Stop for a second. Explain what you just said. Go into a little bit of what you just said.
Well, I think that a man who worships once in a while, his life would be greatly increased if he learned to worship every day in a disciplined manner. Like, I always go to church so that I can worship the Lord. I love to hear the word. So I always go to church to hear the word. I always go to church to be with my church family.
Mm-hmm.
I go to church to be in the presence of the Lord. So there's all these benefits to me that, you know, sometimes when I'm at home, I go, wow, I wish I didn't have to go to church. But because of discipline, just like the workout discipline, just like the commitment to do the right thing every day, I say, no, I need to go to church.
Exactly.
I may not feel like it right now.
Difference between that and obligation, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's not obligated. This is what you should do if you want your life to go well.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like giving money. Sometimes people think they choose this and they choose that. Giving money away needs to be a discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be something you do just like a workout discipline. You need to give it. Someone comes to me complaining about their finances, I usually always say, well, tell me about your giving. And usually their giving will demonstrate why they have such fret and worry over finances. A man who gives regularly usually doesn't fret. He usually has faith.
You got those people, too, though, that live on a limited budget. They live on a limited income. They mm-hmm. only get, like, less than $700 a month. And so the giving part needs to be understood, that if they can, then by all means do. but don't feel like they must, or like God's going to punish them if they don't, or like they're going to be in trouble if they don't, or they're not going to be blessed if they don't. They're blessed to be receiving what they're receiving and have what they have, but if they can, by all means, give, right?
Well, I think some of that, what you just said, is the reason they're in the struggle they're in. I think people that are on a limited income, in my church at least, here's what I challenge them. I tell them, what I want you to do is give 10% every month, even if you can't afford it. Let's add up your bills and let's say it's absolutely you're going to go backwards. I want you to do this for 3 months. Then let's sit down and look at your bills. And if you go backwards, I'll give you them. I'll pay your bills. All I care about is teaching you faith. I don't care about your 60 bucks a month. I care about your faith. And in faith, you won't go backwards. I've been doing this for 35 years, sitting people down to say, okay, here, look, you got $800 a month. Your bills are $805. You're already backwards. So that's what's true. It going to hurt to give 80 more? So give 80 more. Now you're 85 behind. Now let's just do it for 3 months. That's a commitment on my part of $265. Mm-hmm. After the third month, if you're behind, I'll pay your $265 out of my own pocket. Never once in my 35 years have I ever written a check.
Wow.
Faith works. I really am saying that a person shouldn't give only if they can. I'm saying a person should give out of discipline, out of the first fruits of my life go to God. And I don't believe in tithing per se, but I think 10% is the minimum a Christian should give. And so I recommend it. I say what the Bible taught in the old covenant was you tithe so that it can go well with you in the land. Well, it's not going well with you. You're always struggling. You're always worried. You're fretting over your money because you only have 800 and your bills are 805. So why not, instead of fretting, why don't we start a practice that will keep you from fretting?
Makes sense.
So I challenge them. If they rise to the challenge, never once has anyone come back to me to say, you were wrong. Look, I'm $265 behind on my bills. I've never written a check. They've never been behind. Because God makes this faith. See, it's not like God sits up there and punishes or blesses. It's a principle like Velcro of hooks and loops. Your faith hooks you to blessing. And it's floating. It's attracted to you. Good things are attracted to faith. And if you will exercise faith by giving, good things will be attracted to you. And you'll be able to stand up and bless the Lord.
That's some good information, helpful to me and hopefully helpful to the listeners out there that
I do too
struggle with that giving, because I think a lot of times they feel like they must, or else God's not going to bless them, or he's mad at them, or he's angry with them. And you know what? It's not about that. He loves you. And he's not concerned about your money. He's concerned about your heart. It's the attitude of your heart.
That's absolutely
I've struggled
right.
a lot, Steve, with giving, but I've still seen God come through with blessings, but I'm starting to give now. But I'll tell you, sometimes it's a struggle. But if we put faith in God, he'll make it where it's not a struggle.
You do your giving from love. Mm-hmm. You say, Lord, I love you, and you forgave me, and I wanna learn faith. I want my faith to increase. And so I know from reading the New Testament, reading Jesus, he talks about money more than anything. Well, the number one hindrance to faith is money, and the number one feeder of faith is money. So I want to feed my faith. And you do that, and you're gonna see the love. You're just going to see how good God is.
So the overflow of abundance has come to your ministry as a result of the people giving unto the Lord and believing him by faith. They've seen an overflow of abundance come to your ministry and even come to the Lord's gym and all the projects that you do in the area or in the area of Oroville, correct?
Absolutely.
What are your next steps? You said you want to start another ministry or another program. What are you thinking about, or what is the Lord placed on your heart?
We need more places to teach people. Our businesses in the Father's House Restoration Ministries, which is separate from the Father's House Church, the goal is to teach people how to live. It's teaching life skills. It's teaching job skills. It's teaching people skills. It's teaching faith.
Mm-hmm.
One of the commonest questions we get for our volunteers at our businesses is, why do you do this for nothing?
And for nothing?
And every answer they give, like the girl that runs our yogurt shop, she's always asked that question. She's 50 years old. She's just a bright light in this world. And she's asked, why do you do this? It says on the wall, she's a volunteer. They say, why do you volunteer? Why do you do it for nothing? And she says, oh my goodness, it's not for nothing. I lived my life 45 years of bleak misery. I lost 5 children to the system. I was arrested. I was addicted for all those years. I was in despair. She goes, I don't do this for nothing. Everything I give has a return of incredible relationship with God and joy, peace. She said, it feeds my faith to do this. And faith in Jesus always comes through with an abundance of blessing for me.
All right, listeners, if you're happy about what you're listening to and if you're being blessed today and encouraged today, feel free to call 894-7325 and let the radio station know that you love to hear the Christ Today show on the program. And I'm here to encourage you, inform you, and just hope to bring great news to you. I have an announcement, and no, we're not in church, but it's an announcement. Wednesday, June 10th, 7 p.m. evening service through the 14th, which is Sunday, in Yuba City at Yuba Center Fairgrounds, we have Mario Morello with Living Proof Tent Revival. And it's going to be, he's been in evangelism for 48 years and was born in San Francisco. And he is going to be sharing his testimony and sharing ministry and being used of the Lord in partnership with the Lord to do some wonderful things. And the Holy Spirit will be there. And Bridge is hoping that you'll come out and be a part of it. I also want to give a shout out to Studies of Grace and Faith that meets every Sunday morning at the Best Western right behind Kmart in Chico. And we meet at 10 o'clock and we have service from 10 to 11:30 usually, followed by lunch. We have a really good time in the Lord, really good teaching and encouraging in our faith and stuff. So I hope you'll be able to make that if you're in Chico looking for a place to worship. We'd love to have you come out. We want to get back to the show. Okay, Steve, we're back. Why don't you share a little bit more of what's on your heart, maybe about the gym or about the teaching programs, the training programs you were talking about, you know, whatever else you feel led to share.
When we broke, I was talking about Kim and the question she's asked, why do you do this, you know, and why do you do it for nothing? And all of the gains she gets, you know, even financially, I think in her life as an addict, so all of every resource always went towards addiction, always went towards dysfunction, always destroyed things. And today she drives the nicest car she's ever had, lives in the nicest home she's ever lived in, just is taken care of by God in a way that is a testimony to any person that comes from where she comes from. And I would say that the bright light and the incredible evangelistic personality and sweetness that she walks in today, you couldn't compensate for that. You couldn't pay a person enough or even teach them how to have that. All you can really do is lift up Jesus Christ, put a light on a hill, and draw all men unto him. Hmm. And then once they come to him, just like for me, I mean, I knew he was real, but I didn't know what to do. Someone had to show me. Someone had to teach me. So we began to teach him and share that's with good. Them what Jesus says. And I think something that's missing from almost every subject, someone wants to talk about grace. Most of the time, they only talk about a very small piece of what Jesus said. Someone wants to talk about faith. They only talk about a small, they do their bumper stickers. They only talk on their bumper stickers of what he said. But when you take the entirety of what he said, the four Gospels, his quotes in Acts where he talks to Paul the Apostle and then Revelations, the seven letters to the churches. And I think that on any subject you want to talk about in the Christian church, I think that most people just don't want to talk about Jesus. They don't want to talk about the entirety of what he said because what he said is tough. Mm-hmm. His definition of what believe is, his definition of what grace is, His definition of what living by faith is. These are things that challenge a man to have an abundant life. I am the most blessed man that I've ever met in my life. I have lived the dream. I am living the dream. And the minute I met Jesus, I wanted to be real. And I just said, hey, I've met plenty of hypocrites. And I may not be right all the time. And I may not even be good all the time. But I want to go all in. And when I fail, I want to admit I failed. And when I did wrong, I want to confess my wrong. And I want to be forgiven. And I want to be out front and real.
Okay. But this is my understanding, Steve, and we can agree to disagree. But we're forgiven already. Past, present, future sins are already forgiven. We just need to accept the fact that we've been forgiven. We're already loved. We're already accepted by Christ. The choice is, are we accepting him? And I think by what you just shared there about not teaching everything Christ taught, we're not fully accepting him. If we fully accept him, we'll want to teach what he taught in the way that he taught it, which the way that he taught it was in love, was in genuine compassion, but it wasn't playing around with people.
Right.
But there's a lot of preaching out there that has a lot of people and a lot of bondage. And I can see where you're not like that. Okay, you and I talked at the beginning, and I don't see that coming from you, but I do see that coming from a lot of people. They don't mean it, but it's the way they were raised or the way they were taught. And so you have people sitting in the congregation, and there may be some listeners out there that are sitting in the congregation, and they're being wounded because a lot of do this, do this, do this. Not let me show you how things could be better. Let me work with you. Let me help you. Because I think if we had mentors and teachers, like you were talking about, coming alongside and helping us and encouraging us and showing us reasons instead of ways, reasons and whys instead of how-tos, I think there would be a lot more accomplished. Am I not correct on that, Steve?
Well, there would be. The amount of time and energy that takes is something a person has to be willing to give away.
But as a mentor, they should be willing to be able to do that, right?
Well, we should be.
So why are we not doing, why is that not being done?
Well, for instance, in America, there's 105 million people who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Is there really the evidence of 105 million believers who are willing to give their energy and their time and their money away to accomplish what you just said? It's a very time-consuming thing.
It is.
I have hundreds of people in my life who need me. Mm-hmm. They want to ask my opinion about the truck they buy. Young man, yesterday buying a truck, would you help me if I find a truck? Would you tell me if you think it's good or not? And of course. So he sends me a picture. We talk about what it is and what he wants. And I mean, there's just hundreds of these people. It takes time. It interrupts everything. Right now, sitting here, my phone, is upside down because I'm being off the hook because
sorry
people.
About that.
No, heck no. But you have to be willing, mm-hmm. I have to put my phone away sometimes to be able to eat and do other things, you know. But
pastors only have so much time.
It takes a lot of energy and a lot of time to be this mentor in somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to do it with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But if we had 105 million Christians in America who would look and say, let me show you the way, and I will be faithful to you, and I will walk with you, I'm telling you, the prisons would empty into churches. The prisons, the addictions, all these addiction things like Prop 36 and drug court and all these things, they would empty into churches. The true value of the salvation of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit active in your life and the value of faith that increases, an increasing of faith, a strengthening. I'm not talking about increasing in terms of how much faith you have. I'm talking about the strength of your faith, the truth of your faith, the real nature of actually believing in Jesus for your sustenance. In my opinion, I give away. If I need $1,000 a month to live, I make sure I don't have $1,000, so I can't count on that $1,000. Mm-hmm. I make sure I only have $990 because I want to make sure I trust in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I teach my people. They say, I've got $6,000 to buy a truck, and that's your $6,000. I say, well, go give $100 away. Make sure you don't have enough to buy that truck so that when you buy it, you know, God provided a truck for me. He worked on my behalf to get that truck.
Makes sense.
And so I do that continually, and that's the message of my life. Give away a dollar more than you can afford to give so that you must trust in the Lord. And that takes so much time that 105 million Christians, if we did it, the world would be changed. America would be saved. We wouldn't even need another person to come to Jesus. We'd save America just with what we already have. But can you imagine what that would draw? The 105 million Americans who claim Jesus Christ would suddenly become 300 million Americans who claim Jesus Christ. It would happen so fast because you lifted Jesus up. You put his light on a hill.
It would, and there's the difference between preaching, which means giving people information, versus mentoring, which means showing people a way to do things.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why we don't have a lot of mentors is because it hasn't been taught in the church. We don't have a lot of fathers because it hasn't been taught in the church. We don't have a lot of spiritual moms because it hasn't been taught in the church. And so we don't have a lot of people, and they don't even know where to start. So what are they doing? They're referring people to the next great speaker that's coming along, or the next great service that's coming along, instead of having the resources and the stuff that God has provided them with through somebody who took the time to believe in them, took the time to help them to help other people. It's one reaching one as one is reached. It's not one reaching one reaching one without being reached by somebody, correct?
Correct.
So where do you see yourself at in this whole thing that we just talked about? Have you been able to reach some good mentors that are now mentoring other people, that are now mentoring other people, or are they all just coming and just receiving the next message that you have to give?
We have a whole line of mentors on mentors. It's phenomenal. We teach that everybody's leading and everybody's following. And so somebody's following you no matter what you think. If you think you're responsible for no one, you're responsible for someone. And they're following you. So we're always teaching that your message is seen in the way you hold yourself, carry yourself, the way you act and behave, what you say. And you need to do it on purpose and intentionally. And so we our goal is to raise up sons and daughters to become fathers. And we are very successful at that.
Have you been able to do programs for other churches in the area as to how to help them do the same thing? Have they been able to learn or to gain information or insight from you as to how to do the same thing that, you know, you're teaching your own congregation?
Not necessarily in my community. I think in my community, I influence because people look from a distance and they want to appear. They say, we want to do some of that, or we want to look like that. And they pretty much do it on their own. Mm-hmm. But what we do have in Oroville is we have a Project 61 ministry.
Talk about that.
Project 61 is based on Isaiah 61, where strangers will come and rebuild your walls. Right now we have Project 61 people at the Father's House from England. And what we do is we have teams all year long that come from all around the world to spend between a week, 3 weeks, some come for 6 weeks. And they work alongside of us in our ministries, some as laborers. They just do different things. And what they do is they come to learn the things we do. Some of them want to learn the inner healing ministries we do. Some of them want to learn the food ministries we do, elder care. Everyone has a different reason for coming. Last year, a guy came and spent 6 weeks with us to try to figure out how to do a Lord's gym in England. They come for every reason under the sun, but that's us training them how to do what we do. If they want to do a food bank, if they want to do drug and alcohol ministries, if they want to learn how to go into the jail and interview and minister and talk to people, or if they just want to know how to have an open door policy, where how do you fit the dysfunctional in your church service? How do they fit? How do they feel? Do they feel like you're looking at them dirty, or, you know, are you, you know, how do you receive them? There's just so many different methodologies. Plus, our doctrines and the things we teach, our philosophy of just reading the words of Jesus and saying, what are we going to do about this? This is a challenge right here. They want to know, how do you do that and not end up with two people? I mean, because in today's world, everyone wants to believe what they want to believe. Mm-hmm. And so when they read our ministry, when they read my books, or they go online and they listen to our podcast, they say, wow, every single service is a challenge to the people. How do you do that and keep a crowd? How do you do that and get people to want Jesus? Well, we tell them, if you meet Jesus, you're going to like him. Mm-hmm. If you meet me and don't like him, what a shame. So I need to be someone that if you meet me, you're going to want to meet Jesus. You're going to say, well, how do I meet the one that made you like this? Well, let me just pray with you and you can meet him the same way I met him. That's kind of how we accomplish it. Project 61 draws people in from around the country. We don't have a lot of influence on the churches of Oroville, except that they see us out doing stuff and they want to be seen. They get out there and they want to do stuff too. Amazing things are going on in Oroville. Phenomenal ministries are happening in Oroville that are all new in the last 10 years. Prior to that, I didn't see any of that. And now I see tons of it.
But if we look on the news and we hear on the news, we still have a lot of stuff coming out of Oroville that if the impact is really significant, I don't think we'd be hearing all the stuff that's going on in Oroville to the point that we're hearing it. I mean, there's a lot of junk that's still occurring in Oroville.
Yeah. I talked to the sheriff's department. Mm-hmm. I actually sat with Corey, the Butte County Sheriff, the other day at a dinner and was asking him. And the truth is, Curtis, that more junk happens in Chico.
Oh, really?
More junk per capita, even. This reputation of junk happening in Oroville, some of it, I'm not saying junk doesn't happen in Oroville, it does. But we will never wipe that out. Jesus in the land of Jerusalem didn't wipe that out. I mean, that's how he got unlawfully crucified. That's how Stephen got unlawfully stoned. That's how Paul was able to beat Christians and drag them out of synagogues and arrest them, is because the presence of the power of God does two things. It draws the seekers, it draws the lost, it draws the confused, it draws the hopeless. But those that have power and have places of profit and position, they tend to rise up against, and things happen. Corruption happens when Jesus shows up. There's no doubt about it.
Chaos happens when the Lord shows up?
It happens around, but in the center where the Lord is, it doesn't, but okay. Around all the perimeter. I think that the reputation that Orville's so bad is, it's somewhat a figment of people's imagination. When you look at the statistics, every city has exactly what Orville does. I would say what Orville had more than any other city when I first got there was selfishness. I thought selfishness just was everywhere you went. There was this attitude of selfishness. Today, it's totally changed. I mean, it's shocking how much Orville's changed in the last 20 years. And that reputation, I think, is more a figment of memory than it is true, actual fact today. But like I said, if Jesus shows up, and he has, I mean, the glory of God in Orville is constant. It's phenomenal, the presence and power. And that's our goal. Our goal from day one, we did a 40-day fast and walked the streets in 97, praying over every business downtown, over all the city government. We had quite a group down there every day praying for Orville. And we knew God's purpose, what his desire was, is to flood Orville. And here's what he told us. He wants to speak to the world from Orville. And I happen to know that I'm out in the world. I've been traveling. My message goes around the world from time to time. And
what is your message?
So many others.
What's your main message?
Jesus. Listen to Jesus. My number one message, and it's shocking. I will go to a church, for instance, in Wales or something, and I'll preach the message, listen to Jesus, and I'll ask them, I'll say, why don't you take a season of your life, say a year, and read only the gospel, just read them over and over and over. Journal. I said, you can journal a lot of different ways. You can journal and write just as you read, journal what he likes and what he doesn't like. Or you can read where he talks about authority and following and leading and submission, and or you can read where he talks about money and just journal those things and just read Jesus over and over and over, and your life will be changed. It is shocking. My main message is Jesus took three disciples up a hill and he met Moses and Elijah on the way. And the disciples said, this is really good. We can make three altars. The Father speaks out of the cloud and says, this is my son. Listen to him. And the other two disappear. And my main point in the message is I think today we're still trying to make three altars. I think that the thing the Father wants us to know is, this is my son. Listen to him. And then I go into all the things Jesus says. And then the Father is saying, listen to him. It's shocking. You could hear a pin drop. It doesn't matter what church I, whether in Canada, England, Wales, wherever I go to preach these things, you could hear a pin drop. They're like shocked. Wow.
You guys are getting ready to have an event coming up June
yes.
the 13th. It's called the Mud Run.
The Mud Run in Orville, yes.
You want to go into that a little bit, how it got started and what the purpose of that is? What's come out of that? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, one of our missions is to promote Orville. And so we want to develop festivals and things that promote Orville and bring people to the city. We want to be a blessing to our city. And we want there to be a reason for them to listen to us, to hear us, to come and ask us. So we promote Orville. We try to advertise this all over Northern California, trying to bring people in. And we'll have several hundred this year, you know, maybe as many as 500 participants. And we set up this obstacle course that's just under 5 miles long. And it challenges people immensely. And you end up in mud a lot. So you run through ponds, you wade through mud, you crawl through mud, you do these obstacles where you got to help each other, you know. And we have a thing called the Business Bell, where businesses create a team and you compete to have this cast iron bell in your business for a year till next year when someone else wins the business bell. And we have a team from Chico and we have 14 or 15 teams from Oroville. We just want people to come sign up, get a team together and come join us. If you want to just run it on your own, it's $60 for individuals. We also have a kids mud run after, which is a kids festival playing in the mud. We have a 60-foot long slip and slide, and it's about 15 feet tall, and you slide down it, and you go shooting down this water thing. And so there's a festival for kids with pony rides and all kinds of stuff, and it's $20 a kid if you want to come. It's at Feather Falls Lodge and Hotel. It's out behind. You just go to the end and go out. You can't miss it. It's got all the color and flags and lots of hoopla. But we'd love to have you come out and compete. And the purpose of the Mud Run is really just to bless Oroville, to promote Oroville, and to continue to build our legend as people who serve, our servants of all. Many people don't want us knocking on their door telling them about Jesus, but when they begin to hurt and they begin to seek or they begin to need, we want them to remember us. We want them to say, hey, those people, they're serious about what they do, and they want them to come talk to us. And honestly, that's been happening tremendous amount of times. We're constantly in conversations with people that came to us because they heard of us. And the Mud Run is for that purpose. It cost us a fortune to put on, but we feel it's well spent. We think that Oroville is a fabulously beautiful place. I'm shocked at how blessed my life has been in Oroville. I raised my children there. I moved there 25 years ago, raised my children there. And I just can't believe how well, you know, business, how my business flourished there. All my businesses have flourished there. My church has flourished there.
How many businesses have you had?
Well, Steve Orsillo Construction builds custom homes, you know, and I built many, many, many hundreds of custom homes in Oroville and surrounding Northern California. I owned Better Homes Realty at one time, where I had a partner, and Cindy Peebles now runs and owns that by herself, but I owned that. Very successful. Me and her built it into something, and she's taken it and done great. I actually owned the Lord's Gym until it became a nonprofit. I owned the yogurt shop until it became under that same nonprofit.
Some morning you can count.
Yeah, it just keeps going. I mean, there's many, many businesses, and we're planning to open more for the purposes of what God's called us to do.
How can you be a pastor and be involved with all these different ministries, different opportunities of work and stuff? Because I hear people say it's hard to be a pastor and be doing that at the same time. How do you find the time to be able to do it?
Honestly, here's the philosophy behind that. The Bible, Jesus said in Matthew, he said, "Give and you shall receive, in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The measure you use to give will be the measure you use to give to you." Well, that's always preached as money, even though that is not the subject of the verse. The verse is about forgiveness, that you'll receive forgiveness in abundance if you forgive.
Amen.
He says, if you do not forgive, you won't be forgiven.
Amen.
So what we believed, always hearing that about money, give and you'll receive, pressed down, shaken together, he's going to bless you with money. Well, we never thought of it as a vending machine for money. What I do believe, though, is it works in anything. It really works in forgiveness most, and mercy, and judgment. If I judge, I'm going to get judgment in large measure. If I don't judge, I'm going to get not judged in large measure.
That's
and
true.
I like that. So I began to think, you know, this really works with these things. How does it work with energy? How does it work with time? And so in my life, you know, sometimes I've been running five businesses at one time and had four children I was raising, and pastoring. I've always been pastoring in one form or the other. And so when we got to all of our kids raised up, all four of them are in love with Jesus. They all love Jesus and serve him with all their heart. And our marriage is the best marriage we know. It's not a day goes by some young couple doesn't say, we want to have a marriage like yours. We have a storybook, fairy tale marriage. A fairy tale family. It's just awesome, the blessing that's in our life, because we believe if you give energy, you'll have all the energy you need. If you give all your time away, you'll have all the time you need. I probably do nothing more than anybody you've ever met. I rest more than anyone you've ever met. It's shocking.
That's kind of hard to believe.
And so the answer is that it's the truth, though. It is the absolute truth. If I kept a time card, you'd be shocked. To do this is very easy because the philosophies, the things we've learned in our life, how to follow Jesus, all we do is read what Jesus says and we do it. We give. We give more than we can afford to give of our time, our money, our energy, and he always makes an abundant return for us. He always allows us. Our children will tell you, every one of them will tell you, my parents were there for us. They were at every game, every kindergarten graduation, every honor roll. Everything we did, our children were there for us, or our parents were there for us. They were always there when we needed them. They took us with them in ministry. We were part of the band. We were part of the life. And, you know, there's just no way around that. There's no way around the results that we've had, the fruit that we've bore from following Jesus. And so The second reason that we're able to do all of these things and accomplish it is because of the team that's around us, the sons and daughters we've created. You know the verse, this is the other verse that really drives us. When trouble comes to the vineyard, the sons and daughters, the sons are the ones that stand up and defend the vineyard. The hireling runs. Well, we didn't want hirelings. We've seen plenty of hirelings run. We've seen plenty of people we brought here for a position. They can't hack it and they go. Because when trouble comes, they run. But the sons and daughters that we've raised up have invested their life. They've listened to what we've taught about giving, and they give their life away. Every Project 61 team that comes, we ask them the same question. What do you think is our number one value here for living our life? And they never get it wrong. They always say, give your life away.
That's true.
Yep. And so they see it. They see the growth. They see the, like, the, this is the strongest team. My team meetings have 45 people in them. And they're always a blessing. And these are these people, not one of them, well, two of them have education, not one of the others have an education. Most of them didn't graduate from high school. Most of them, their graduation came the day they got out of Butte County Jail or out of San Quentin Prison. I mean, that's where most of my team comes from, but I made them sons and daughters. I grew them into that day out of day, chipping the crap off, blessing that which is good, getting rid of that which was crummy. Until they became heroes in the faith, sons and daughters who are now able to be fathers and mothers to others. And it's a shocking, amazing result. It's something to see. Come take a tour. We'd love to show you around the Father's House and all of its operations.
Isn't it a small building or is it a big building? Is it a large congregation, large church?
200 people is all that belong to the Father's House Church. 5,000 to 8,000 people is how many we touch every week in the Father's House Church. We're out there in the community. Blessing people, touching people. We have food banks, food giveaways. Our food lines on Friday are usually long. We have so many things we do, and we don't do them so that we can receive anything from the Lord. We do them because of what we have already received from the Lord. We have been blessed. We have been forgiven. When someone says to me, how are you doing? It's like, are you kidding me? I'm forgiven.
Amen.
Are you kidding me?
Amen.
God has blessed me.
And that's what the message needs to be.
Why do you do this? Why do you give your life away? Because he gave his life away for me. That's why I do it.
He is no fool who lays down his life for a friend.
That's right.
And no greater love than to have any man than he to lay down his life for a friend. And so you're showing love. You're speaking love. So talk to the listeners a little bit for the next couple minutes. You're speaking directly to them about loving. Give them from what's on your heart about loving.
Well, in my opinion, there's a verse in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 that says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is." And so I began to think about that, you know, the nature of who God is. The seed that he wants to put in you that will produce fruit, the fruit it produces is peace and patience and love and kindness and goodness, self-control. Oh my goodness. The actual fruit that grows from God living in you. Jesus said, my Father and I will make our home in you. And if you will let the Father and the Son make their home in you, if you will nurture that seed. I always think of the parable where the tree's not bearing fruit and the guy and they want to cut it down, but the gardener says, no, let me dig around it. Let me feed it correctly. Let me water it properly. And then let's see if it doesn't bear fruit in the next season. And if it doesn't bear fruit, let's cut it down. But if it does, then we have gained so much. And so the seed that God wants to place in us is himself.
Amen.
And the fruit he wants to bear that needs to be fed correctly and watered correctly is love and peace and goodness and kindness, gentleness, self-control, love.
Amen.
And love is not heard through the words of our mouth. Love isn't experienced through me saying, I love you, or I am loved, or don't you know I love you? No. The love is seen through the things I do for you. Love is seen through the things I give to you. And so the fruit of a man, if my arms are branches, the fruit you should see hanging on my branches are the fruit of God's seed in me. not the fruit of what I can warehouse for my old age, or how I can take care of myself, or how I can worry and fret and toil and spin to take care of all my own needs. No, the fruit that grows out of me is what I can do for the least of these, my brethren. The fruit that I can give to Jesus when he's hungry, when he's thirsty, when he's naked, when he's alone, when he's a stranger, when he's in prison. It's the fruit I can give away that grows on my tree. And Jesus said, if any branch in me that does not bear fruit, my Father will cut it off. And that's, I think, sometimes the most misunderstood verse in the whole Bible. And there's 100 that go behind it that say that this fruit-bearing thing is not optional. We need to feed this seed of God in our life. We need to water this seed of God in our life. And we need to produce this fruit that comes from the Spirit. We need it growing on us naturally, because we feed the Spirit through prayer and worship and really, really listening to Jesus. Really taking the red letters and reading them and let them change us. And don't say, oh, that's too hard. Say, Lord, how can I do this? Call on him. Lord, what you asked me to eat your flesh and drink your blood, it's too hard for me. And just call on him and watch how he makes it possible for you to accomplish his will in the face of the earth. When you say, I have nothing to give, all of a sudden, two mites appear in your hand. You have this to give, or you have that to give. You have time to give. You have energy to give. You have wisdom to give. You have an understanding of the faith to give. And so, give your life away. Nurture Jesus. Worship him. Be grateful to him for everything. Worship him. Study his word. Follow him. Obey. Listen. Learn. Be led. And let the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Peace, let him rule in your heart. Water the seed. Feed the seed. Bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, patience, joy, kindness, goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, gentleness.
There's a lot to be said there.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming down to the end. Well, folks, you've been listening to KKXX 930 AM, Y104.5 FM, Christ Today. It's been an interesting message today. It's been really impacting me. I know it, and I'm glad you came, Steve, to share from your heart about
Thanks
the
for
gym
having me.
And the other stuff that you shared. But I want to have you pray us out real quick, and I want to let the listeners know next week we'll be back on the air. We'll have an awesome testimony next week, and so we're looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we're going to close out, folks. So go ahead, Steve.
Father, we love you and thank you for loving us. I was lost and you found me. I was running. You chased me. I love you, Jesus. I love every word that comes out of your mouth. I loved every calling that you've called me to, that you've chosen me for, that you could actually use me, Lord. That's amazing. And I pray you would inspire people, call people. You would challenge people to come and walk with you, Lord. And if you can use me to help them, Lord, let me help them. If these words that I've said today can inspire them, Lord, let them inspire them. Anoint us, Lord. Be your instrument. Use us as you will. And for every heart out there that wants to cry out to the Lord, bend your knee. It takes 20 seconds. Say, I'm a sinner. I want to know the truth. If you're real, I'll follow you. And call out to him. Enter, come into my heart. Plant your seed in me. Use me, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Do it. Give your heart to him, and then go find the pastor of a church that worships and join it. There's many in Chico. There's tons in Oroville. Come see me at the Father's house. I'll talk to you.
Well, folks, hope you've been encouraged. Hope you've been blessed. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week. Have a great week.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. 930 1045, and join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.